Hopefully that is the prayer of your heart, that ye would be used and usable to be channels for the Lord's use, instruments in our Redeemer's hand. We'll dismiss the children at this point for junior church. They can walk back to see Mrs. Rohrbacher. And the rest of us, I invite you to turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel in the 17th chapter. Luke chapter 17. I've not read the book. I plan to here in the near future, but I came across this quote this week in studying for today's message. It is a quote by from the book Gulliver's Travels. Have you ever read Gulliver's Travels? I have not read Gulliver's Travels, but I plan to here soon. And that book was originally published in 1726, just a few years, I believe, after Robinson Crusoe was first published. In this book, the author, Jonathan Swift, essentially gives his opinion of ingratitude. In the story of Gulliver's Travels, you're probably familiar with it. The person goes to the Lilliputian people, and he's this big giant, and so forth. And in the book, he says this, that this is the law of the Lilliputians. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's what we'll go with today. It says this, ingratitude is reckoned among them a capital crime. For they reason thus, that whoever makes ill return to his benefactors must needs be a common enemy to the rest of mankind, from whom he hath received no obligation. And therefore such a man is not fit to live. Ingratitude is a capital crime. Boy, can you imagine if that was what actually took place today? In our country, ingratitude is a capital offense. That would be quite amazing. Obviously, in the 1700s, the topic, the idea of ingratitude was not looked upon favorably. And really, it's not too far off to the biblical view of ingratitude. The Bible does not look favorably, does not look well upon a person who does not show gratitude, particularly to the Lord. This is a sin. It's a sin of ingratitude. Francis Schaeffer wrote in his book, True Spirituality, which I have read that book. He wrote this, "The beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart." That's quite a statement. And this morning, we're going to consider the story of these 10 lepers. Rob read it for us earlier here in Luke 17, the story of these 10 lepers who come to Christ for healing, but only one of them came back to give thanks. The 9 went away, and the other 9 went away. And we are to infer, really, that they did not have a thankful heart. They did not express that. They did not take the time like the one did to come back to the Lord. And I would submit to you that at least one aspect of this, why they did not, and this will be our subject for this morning, is because of their selfish hearts. And this morning I want us to consider this notion of how selfishness really is a thanksgiving killer, can kill our ability to give thanks to the Lord. The story itself is pretty self-explanatory as far as what goes on here. Not a whole lot of unknown ideas or things to really unpack a lot in the story. We have these 10 lepers who cry out to the Lord for mercy. The Lord is making his way to Jerusalem. And he, it says that he is in the midst or goes around the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And we're, some vagueness is here. Which one was he in? Was he actually in Galilee or in Samaria? And we're not even told who these 10 men were. Were they Galileans or were they Samaritans? We know one because that's explicitly told. But we don't know where those other 9 are from. Jesus gives them an instruction in verse 14 to go show yourselves unto the priest. That is his answer to their cry for mercy. And when Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priests, that was referring back to the Old Testament law that the leper was to go to the priest, and the priest was to would confirm whether that leprosy was gone, and therefore they could be introduced back into society. So Jesus was essentially telling them, you go back, and this is your ticket. This is how you know. You go to the priest, and Jesus did, in fact, heal them all. It says, as they went, the end of verse 14, that came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they hadn't made it to the priest yet. As they went, they were indeed cleansed or made clean from their leprosy. But then verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, and that phrase, a loud voice, is the Greek two words, megaphone, like a megaphone. He cried out with a loud voice, and glorified God, and fell down at Jesus' face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And a little side reference there, and he was a Samaritan. Interesting scenario here. And the key phrase in this man's response, I believe, is this phrase, when he saw that he was healed. There was something that took place in his heart right there that reveals his response. He responded in gratitude. He responded in worship. He did not respond in a selfish manner. So as we consider our need for true gratitude, understand, again, that selfishness will kill our ability to truly give thanks to the Lord. Let's consider several aspects of this from this man's testimony this morning. First, the selfish person fails to understand the depth of his own need. Okay, we're told the identity of only this one. He was a Samaritan. There are really two things that were going against this man. One, he was a leper. Okay, if you know anything at all about the Old Testament idea of leprosy, this would have meant that this man was an outcast. He was not to be near people. In fact, that's why it's worded the way it is, that these men in verse 12, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. According to the law, they couldn't just come up and, you know, interact in close proximity. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and cried out to the Lord. They were lepers. And according to Leviticus 13, they were unclean. They were outcast. They were to let others know of their uncleanness as well. So that's one thing that they had against them, was their leprosy. The other thing was, for this man, was he was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were considered half-breeds. And the reason for that, and if you were in our Bible study, adult Bible study this morning, we talk about the split kingdom, northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. Well, after the northern kingdom was taken by the Assyrians, captivity took place, there were some that were left in the north. And part of what took place after that was this recolonization in the north, in what we call the northern kingdom, by these other people groups, Gentiles. And they intermarried. And they became known as Samaritans. They were the half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. And these Samaritans were not looked upon favorably by the Jews. We have the famous interaction, of course, that Jesus went into Samaria, the woman at the well occasion there. We have other occasions like that as well. But here was something that was also against this man. He was a leper, and he was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jewish mindset, were not worshiping God properly. So this man understood the depth of his own condition on both accounts. The fact that Jesus healed lepers wasn't new. It's not new as far as the gospel accounts. There were other times that Jesus cleansed lepers, and then he did it in different ways. But this man experienced it now for himself. And Jesus now interacts with this man who is, at the time that this man comes back and speaks to him, he is now a former leper, current Samaritan. Jesus heals him completely at just the word of his mouth, and he interacts with him verbally. He speaks with him, and he accepts this man's worship. This man recognized the depth of his own need, both socially as well as spiritually. Socially, he was an outcast. That was only representative of the greater spiritual need of his heart. He was a leper, and leprosy is just a, really, from a spiritual standpoint, it's just a sign, so to speak, just a symbol, symbolic of the leprosy in this man's heart. Selfish people, though, don't fully grasp the depth of their need. There is a level of that known. It's not that people don't understand at least some of their need. I mean, the other nine were healed. They knew that they were lepers. But they did not fully grasp the depth of their real need. Selfish people don't have the spiritual eyes to see with clarity their own issues. They're usually too busy gazing at the issues that other people have and really pointing those out. They don't take the time to, and they don't really see with clarity the depth of their own need. Selfish people don't have the sight to see the depths of their own sinfulness and therefore the depth of their own need for true, real help. But this man did. And I'm proposing that he did that at least in part because he was not selfish. Those other nine were unthankful because at least in part they had this selfish heart. Secondly, the selfish person fails to understand his own unworthiness of blessing. This really falls right on the heels of that first point, but takes it even a step further. None of these 10 lepers deserve to be healed. None of them were worthy of the Lord's mercy. They all cried out for it, but none of them were worthy to receive it. None of them were entitled to anything from the Lord. But all of them did receive mercy, and all of them were healed from their leprosy. Those people who believe themselves to be entitled to help do not understand their own unworthiness to be helped. When we approach life with an entitlement mentality, believing that we deserve to be healed or cured or helped in some way, we are not looking at our lives through the lens of Scripture, but through the lens of selfishness. I have a right to this. I am entitled to this. I deserve this. That's a selfish heart. And that is essentially an inflated view of ourselves. We have a much higher view of our own hearts, of our own selves, than we do that of God. And these nine who ran off to the priest only saw their leprosy go away from their skin. But the leprosy of their hearts was still eating away at their spiritual health. They were the selfish ones who manifested an entitlement spirit. They didn't go back. They didn't even take time. Look at us. We deserve this. Now, okay, we'll go to the priest because that's what he told us, but that's it. It is the one Samaritan man who recognized his own unworthiness of such a blessing. He did not deserve to be healed, either physically or spiritually. He knew he was not worthy of the Lord's mercy, but he received it nonetheless. Selfishness is so consumed with self that we cannot clearly see how unworthy we are. In fact, we want others to see how worthy and deserving we are. It's like the story from Snow White, the wicked woman, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? She was expecting and even demanding that everyone recognize her worthiness. And we can exhibit that same kind of selfishness as well. True gratitude sees and understands how unworthy we are to receive anything. We are not entitled or worthy of anything. In your worship guide this morning, let me take that out real quick. I put in here a passage from 1 Chronicles 29. And here's a situation, just to illustrate an aspect of this. This is in David's reign. David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but the Lord said, no, you won't do it, but Solomon will. Well, David then took it upon himself to gather materials for this temple so that he could help his son Solomon. Earlier in the passage, David gives a vast amount of resources to the Lord for this cause. But we're going to pick up a reading in verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And I've underlined them all, but notice all these occasions where David points the attention to the Lord, deflecting it away from him. Verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Notice the attitude of that. There's complete unworthiness here. Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers, bowed their heads, and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. Here is this deflection. David saying, we're not worthy. Everything is yours. We're just giving back to you what's already yours. It's not us. Who are we? And yet David was incredibly blessed with riches and honor. But all is God's, and David recognizes that. He knows they are unworthy of God's favor in this. He knows that they are not entitled to anything, but his response is grateful praise. See the connection there. Ben Zander, who is the current director of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra and Youth Orchestra, recently made this statement. It's not original with him, but he made it. The difference between privilege and entitlement is gratitude. The difference between privilege and entitlement is gratitude. In other words, if you think you are entitled to something, gratitude will not be there, at least the way that honors the Lord. When you recognize the privilege, the unworthiness, much gratitude follows. Back here in Luke 17, we find in this man this great heart of gratitude, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, which is only reflective of the mindset of an unworthiness, an unselfishness in his heart. Entitlement comes from a selfish heart. Gratitude recognizes God as the gracious giver of all good things to us who are undeserving. What do we have that we deserve? Nothing. And what we deserve, by God's grace, through His Son, we will never get. Death in hell. We are unworthy of all. Third, the selfish heart fails to see his situations clearly. And this is the point of this phrase that this man that is said of this man, when he saw that he was healed. Verse 15. I think this is more than just an observation made by the Samaritan. I think there is a realization in his mind, in his heart. Sometimes we don't realize how dirty we are until we get clean. Remember years ago when we were redoing our basement, I spray painted the ceiling. Full hazmat suit, you know, basically kind of thing, mask and goggles and all this kind of stuff. And yet there was still some of my face that was left exposed. Well, I remember spray painting the whole ceiling. I thought, I'm not taking any of this off until it's done. And when I finally undid the hood and took off the mask and the goggles, you could see the clear distinction where I was dirty and which part stayed clean. Or sometimes you go outside and work, and it's in the heat of the summer, and there's dust everywhere and grass, and you're in the woods or you're mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, and you come in, and if you just look at your legs, if you wear shorts like I do, you look at your legs, well, not too bad. And then you take off your socks. And you see the clear demarcation. There's the clean part, relatively. And there's the dirt. Sometimes we don't see how dirty we were until we're made clean. And this man, when he was made clean, he had the realization, when he saw it, he had the realization of how filthy he really was. Sin clouds our thinking and our spiritual eyesight. When we are not thinking biblically, we will not see clearly our spiritual need, nor the true nature of the spiritual help that is offered to us. Selfishness is rampant in our hearts. We're consumed with self, just getting our needs met, just having our desires satisfied, and this clouds our spiritual judgment and stifles our ability to see with biblical clarity how much we ought to be thankful to God. When we cultivate our selfish, sinful heart, we're merely feeding a lifestyle of ingratitude because we cannot see our situation with the kind of clarity that God wants us to. And if you were one of the 10, you would say, well, you know, we all have leprosy. I'm not any worse off than that guy. But they are not the standard. They were unclean in God's eyes. And they all needed this. And this man, when he saw it, I don't think he was just seeing no more leprosy on his skin. I think there was a much deeper realization and understanding that he had. But when we cultivate this selfish, sinful heart, we will not see clearly how good and kind God is in what he gives and in what he withholds. We only gripe and complain about how God is not dealing with us correctly. Correctly. According to me. were talking several years ago to a woman who was having major marital problems. Her marriage was in shambles. She was a selfish woman. So was her husband. The marriage was a wreck for 30-something years. And she kept trying to rationalize how her happiness was more important than obeying the Lord, as if those two ideas are completely against each other. Her selfishness helped contribute to the demise of their marriage and the destruction of their home. She could not see clearly the goodness of God. Her sin was clouding her thoughts. And she refused to see the goodness and kindness of God and her own leprosy that was in her own heart. She had a selfish heart. Her husband did too, and he had his own problems. But the point is, when we're selfish in our heart, it will cloud us. We cannot see properly what we need in God's goodness to us. And then fourth, the selfish heart can only experience superficial rather than spiritual wellness. Notice something about these lepers. All 10 were healed of their leprosy. That much is very evident. They all go away, the other 9 go, and we're left to believe they're going to go to the priest. The one comes back, but they're all healed. It's not like Jesus was discriminatory in who he would or wouldn't heal necessarily. For instance, the feeding of the 5,000. All of them were fed. But Jesus made a comment at a later time. You know, those people, as they were coming back, they're only looking for another really cool experience. They're not really after the bread of life. These 9 lepers were cured of their disease, but there is a difference of word choice that I want to point out for us. This does get a bit technical, but I think it is important for us. Look in the text, look in verse 14. The end of the verse, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, that word is what you would think it means. It means to be clean. It means to be cleansed. It's also used there in verse 17. You go to verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed. Okay, that word means cured. Cured of the leprosy. But then you go to verse 19. And Jesus talks to the Samaritan. He said to him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And that word whole is not the word that was used earlier for cleansed. It was not used for healed. This word is different. This is the Greek word, if you're interested in the Greek, sozo. And a lot of times in our New Testament, that Greek word sozo refers to salvation. To be saved is what the word means. To be delivered. And what Jesus is pointing out here, it wasn't that this man's faith allowed him to be cured of his leprosy of his skin. It was that this man's faith led to his salvation, the cure of his soul. There was more going on in the heart of this man than in the other 9. They all experienced the superficial cleansing of their physical leprosy. And this Samaritan not only did that, but also experienced the spiritual cleansing of the leprosy of his heart. And let me just ask that question this morning. Have you experienced that same kind of cleansing of your heart? Of your spiritual leprosy. Jesus said your faith has made you whole or well or delivered. And that phrase, your faith has made you whole, Jesus said that to many people. Their faith in him, in who he was, and what he would do, that's what leads to a person's salvation. Have you experienced that? Has Jesus made you whole? Not just clean on the outside, The nine others were that, but this man was saved. Have you been saved? You know Christ as your Lord and Savior today? I pray that that is so, but if not, I pray, as I did earlier, that you would come to faith in Christ alone. Let me make a couple applications for us this morning. First, the Lord delights in gratitude to him. If you notice, please, in the text, Jesus, in verse 17, Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." The Lord delights and would have taken great delight if the other 9 did what this one had done. The Lord delights in our gratitude to him. He delights when we express heartfelt, genuine gratitude to him for what he is and what he has done. It's not some great power trip that the Lord has. He's not like this megalomaniac just out for, you know, to boost his own ego. That's not God at all. But who else is worthy to give thanks to? I'm certainly not. You certainly aren't. The Lord is. And we need to express this kind of heartfelt, genuine gratitude to the Lord, just like a parent delights in the gratitude that a child may express to them for something. Gratitude to God is an expression of our heart that reflects a proper assessment of our situation and of God's loving care over us. I mentioned earlier when we read the call to worship from Psalm 30, this word extol, "I will extol you, O Lord." That word means to lift him up in our thinking, to elevate him. And I find it interesting how the psalmist put it, "I will extol you, O my Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me." Difference in value there, of course, but this, it's an interesting play on words. We can extol our God, to lift him high in our thinking, and to elevate him for others to see as well. Horribly deficient illustration of that, but think of sports teams when a guy hits a winning shot at the end of the game. His teammates will come and sometimes give him a bear hug and lift him up, or the football team may get their coach and lift him up on their shoulders. What are they doing? It's a simple illustration, but that's what they're doing here. They're lifting up that person. They're extolling him. When we express gratitude to the Lord, it extols him, and he delights in it. So the Lord takes great delight in our gratitude. That's one application. Secondly, selfishness, though, will lead you to be consumed with what you have been given rather than be thankful to the one who gave it. As God delights in our gratitude and deserves it, selfishness deflects that and is more grateful for the gift than the giver. And in doing so, we exchange the glory of the Creator for the glory of the created thing. And that's high treason against God that we all struggle with at some point. Various things will kill your ability to truly and biblically give thanks to God in a proper way. And selfishness is one of them. It is a thanksgiving killer for sure. It is not that selfish people don't express gratitude, but it is that their gratitude is centered around a selfish heart. They're thankful for merely utilitarian or selfish reasons. Their selfish hearts will keep them from the elevation of God in their hearts, their minds, and their words in such a way that truly would honor the Lord. Selfishness is bound up in our hearts. We all struggle with this. And therefore, this is for all of us, me included. And I pray that we would think seriously about how we can express gratitude to our great and almighty God, seeing our need and situation with biblical clarity, not believing we are entitled to anything, and therefore lift up our God in such a way that makes him elevated in our minds and in the minds of others as well. Learn the lesson from this man. We praise the Lord for this Samaritan man who was not only cleansed of his leprosy, but saved from his sin. Let's learn the lesson from his life. And the opposite thing, let's fight against the selfishness and repent of the selfishness that we've embraced so frequently. Let's pray together.